Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. You're welcome to IMC's conference call to discuss the fourth quarter of 22 results. The presentation is available for download at the company's website. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. Forward-looking statements are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of future developments. In this conference, we have Mr. Alex Santoro, CEO, and Mr. Rafael Bossolani, CFO and IRO of IMC. I now turn over to Mr. Santoro. Please, you may proceed. Thank you, Andre. Good morning, everyone. I hope you and your families are doing well. And thank you for being here with us today on this call for the fourth quarter of 22. Last year was marked by the best delivery of results in the history of company, both in terms of sales and EBITDA. Today, we have a much more financially structured company with the best indebtedness level, demonstrating how right the decisions were when we first started working here. The scenario is now very different from 2 years ago, when the question I heard the most was about the capacity of the company to resume after the pandemic and be able to pay its debts, for example. Immediately after my arrival and the arrival of my team, we established a clear plan based on a strong transformation agenda. We brought in a new team that helped us prepare this plan and carry it out. Today, I can say we have a new company. We have a team that is aligned in the long term with a new management model, with processes in control and four large systems with invoicing between 650 and 680 million BRLs per year, all of them with a huge potential to grow. We have different systems, KFC, Pizza Hut, Frango Asado, and the United States. In slide number two, I will talk about the company when compared to the pre-pandemic period in 2019. Clearly, the company not only recovered from the pandemic, but we're doing much better than we did in 2019. Some important indicators, such as the business profitability, which is already back to the levels of 2019, the amazing expansion of KFC, which has tripled in Brazil. We also increased our digital sales, reaching 30%, and we are substantially less indebted than we were at the end of 2019. And how did we get there? We're now going to move on to the next slide, slide number three, where I show you a summary of our transformation roadmap, which I have been shown throughout the last 2 years. It was and will continue being our roadmap in terms of what we should prioritize. And now, quickly going through the pillars of our transformation agenda, we can see that we had an important progression in all of the aspects. Our people and culture are the basis for everything we're developing. In addition to having the right people in the right position, it's essential to have a culture aiming at sustainable results where we think and act as owners of the business. We're happy that we were able to attract talents to our team. Along to the ones we already have, we make a strong and well-aligned team. Operational efficiency. Today, we will see more details during the presentation, but we reached record sales thanks to a series of initiatives we had in different areas of the company. It goes from creativity and assertiveness of our marketing team with well-done campaigns, update of our menus and offers, and a strong operations team for the day-to-day. The Panama sale was a significant step for the simplification of our business, whereas it also gave more liquidity to the company, helped us reduce our debt, providing more balance to our capital structure. The third pillar, digital transformation, had a significant evolution, especially when we compare where we were 2 years ago. We were a company that was essentially analogic. Today, we can say that we have advanced. We have made a series of digital channels available. We also have the new Pizza Hut app and also for KFC, Frango Assado, sales using WhatsApp, and also what we did with Frango Assado as an example of what we implemented last year. It has been an evolution, but we're still behind our main competitors. We are working and focusing so that we can close this gap. The fourth aspect is expansion. We went from a situation where we had a litigation between the company and the global KFC into a new 10-year agreement. As a consequence, we opened 30 stores for KFC, a growth of 25% in the number of stores, clearly turning KFC one of the fast food networks that grows the fastest here in Brazil. Regarding Frango Assado, because of the huge potential of the business and also because it did not expand in the last 10 years, in 2021, we decided it was about time that we totally analyzed this business to define a new model and start growing again. We had a series of opportunities to improve the experience of consumers with more technology on the stores and also reinforcing certain aspects. We reinforced our visual identity and have a robust plan to become the leaders of this segment in Brazil along the next years. To wrap up regarding our financial discipline, we went from debt of 3x to 1.5x thanks to our net debt reduction and also this Panama sale. Today, we have a lower net debt, and we just obtained 200 million BRLs to work with our debt. These values will be used 100% to prepay debentures that are due in 23 and 24. The new debt has a longer profile, 5 years, at a lower cost than the previous debt. This clearly shows that the evolution of the company reflects not only our accounting results, but also the risk perception, which is much lower than it was 3 years ago when we had the last debenture. So we move consistently. We are sure that our journey is just beginning. I thank the whole team, our franchises, vendors. You were essential for the results we obtained, and we will show in our slide number four. In slide number four, we have a summary of the main indicators for the fourth quarter and also for the year of 2022. Starting with the sales in the same stores, we can see an evolution of all of our operations. Our net revenue grew 4% in the quarter and 27% in the year, reaching 36 million BRL, a growth of 71% when compared to the past year. The EBITDA margin also reached 20% in the fourth quarter and 14% in the year. To conclude, the net debt, as mentioned before, was reduced to 1.5x, and the net debt was reduced to 253 million BRL. Moving on with the presentation in slide number five, we have a summary of the number of stores. We close the quarter and the year with 559 units, 22 additional stores than 4Q 2021. We also had the sales of Panama, including 25 stores in total. We remain very disciplined with new businesses, trying to obtain the best return on the capital invested, maintaining our sustainability in the long term. In slide number six, we have some highlights of the four main operations, starting with Pizza Hut. It is a system that here in Brazil reached 700 million in sales with over 250 stores. It remains the favorite pizza brand in Brazil. We carried out a survey by MDI, and 51% of the interviewers consider it the best pizza. It's a very strong brand that has opportunities for improvements in terms of profitability and revenue, and also in the format of the stores. We are trying to create a larger area of products, such as during lunchtime, and to do that, we have developed some options with pasta, for example. Last year, we also focused on another opportunity for sales. In addition to the increased revenue, we have a new app and have implemented a new call center to provide a better experience to our consumers, increasing the profitability in the system. With that, it will be possible for us to decrease the mean take ratio of Pizza Hut. When we analyze KFC, which is the absolute leader in this segment, with the sales above 650 million BRL, a mean value per store, which is very good, and we have an opportunity to renew our global partnership with KFC, and we're also going to reinforce our digital channels, WhatsApp sales. We have a strong calendar for the upcoming months with interesting offers, an excellent price and cost with the promotion I highlight in this slide of 3-in-1 for 17 BRL. Now, in the next slide, we have Frango Assado with sales of 700 million BRL. Here, in addition to the new visual identity, as you can see, we have also improved with our digital experience and the installation of self-help terminals. The most important thing here is that we're totally redesigning the client experience aligned to a detailed and ambitious expansion plan that will be implemented in 2023. It's also important to highlight the important role of our centralized kitchen in Frango Assado, where bread, coxinha, among others, are produced by a central kitchen. In the United States, which is our largest system currently with sales greater than 800 million BRL and 30 stores only, we had another excellent performance, especially during the U.S. summer, with a lot of traffic in our stores. We also have a ramp-up of the new stores in New York, Atlanta, and Miami as we had planned. We have a huge opportunity in the New York stores, which is probably going to be the best operation, similar to the restaurant we have in Las Vegas. And then moving on to digital sales, and I quickly talked about this in the beginning. The total sales of Pizza Hut and KFC has reached 66 million BRL, representing 60% of our total sales. In the near future, we will relaunch the Pizza app. It has a simple and effective interface for our client. KFC is rolling out the terminals, and we expect to reach 100% of our stores with self-help by the end of the year. Frango Assado also has a loyalty program and responds for approximately 5% of the sales in our restaurants. Our digital transformation is just beginning. We still have a lot of opportunities to increase leveraging our business in this area. This is and will continue being one of our priorities. In slide number nine, we have a summary of the same-store sales when compared to the previous year, 2021. The fourth quarter of 2021, which is usually the strongest one, we have made a comparison, but in general, we had a strong performance throughout 2022, except for the fourth Q, which was impacted by the U.S. operations, where we closed different stores because of the strong winter in that country and the snowstorms as well. In 2023, we started the year very strongly, especially led by Frango Assado and KFC. We can see this in slide number 10, our next slide, where we can see the evolution for each one of the four brands. We can see the results for the beginning of 2023 in Frango Assado, with a growth of 30% and KFC 27%. Moving on in slide 11 here, we have a summary of our net revenue. As a result of all of the actions I showed you, we've reached the best results in our history, both in Brazil and in international operations, reaching global revenue of 2,350 million BRLs. The operations in Brazil grew 35%. In slide 12, we will see the adjusted EBITDA and how this was transformed in the last line. So you can see that as a result of our operational efficiency, we reached the highest EBITDA in history and an increase of 71%, reaching 336. A better cost control, operational leverage led us to an EBITDA margin of 14% in the year. And even if we exclude extraordinary events, in 2022, we grew more than 60%. We went from 158 to 253. And then in the next slide, we can see the adjusted EBITDA by region. We have been focusing our operations, especially here in Brazil, to increase the productivity of each one of our stores with a better management, reduction of operational losses, implementation of cost and expense control, which helps us monitor and leverage the performance of our store. In Brazil, our results increased fivefold, with a positive result of 5 billion that we had to pay the U.S. The program is called ERTC. At the same time, it's important to highlight that in 21, we also had a positive impact of the American government in the order of 4 million BRLs. And if we look at the recurring EBITDA, it grew throughout 22. And now I turn over to Rafael Bossolani, my partner and CFO, to give you some more details about our financial results. Rafael, please. Well, thank you, Santoro. Good morning, everyone, those who are participating in the result conference for the fourth Q of 22. I would like to continue our presentation and quickly comment some important aspects of our financial performance, which can be seen in slide number 14. So as mentioned by Santoro, we have evolved very quickly and consistently with our transformation agenda. And this has been translated into concrete results obtained in the last almost 2 years. And somehow it reflects the continued evolution of the company when compared to all of our financial and strategic objectives. Our financial discipline is another example that we progressed significantly, and IMC is today in a very different situation when compared to the pre-pandemic period, as demonstrated here today. You can see the numbers, and in the quarter, we grew 68% with our operational cash flow. We went from 28 to 47 million in the quarter. In the year, the same operational cash flow totaled 172 million, which is a growth of 33% when compared to the previous year. It is a result of the operational improvement, but also an important improvement in our working capital and cash flow. Within our growth strategy, we continue focused on profitable operations. We remain disciplined with expansion of our own stores. And in the fourth quarter, it was accelerated when compared to the previous quarters in 22. The company's CapEx was basically half of what had been seen in the same period of the previous year. We invested 62 million BRLs, and 37 were dedicated to expansion of stores, and the other 25 million were used for maintenance, renovations, and strategic projects, and also technology processes. And so in the year, we also reduced investments in about 40%, as you can see in the graphic, to a total of 113 million BRLs of investments, of which 65% was used for the growth of new stores. We're closing the year with a very controlled net debt. It was 253 million BRLs, a reduction of close to 20% when compared to the last quarter of the year. And this represents a leverage level of 1.5 times the EBITDA of the last 11 months, which is below the index we had in the beginning of the year and the one that was determined by the covenants of the period, which was 3 times the EBITDA. This represented a reduction of the EBITDA. These results reflect a very disciplined management of capital allocation, focusing on maintaining adequate liquidity for our businesses. I also wanted to reinforce the focus we've been giving on optimizing the capital structure of the company. Once again, in the last few days, We concluded a new issuance of debentures in the amount of 200 million for the prepayment of part of our current debentures. This enables a reduction in the spread, but also a longer mean time of 25-50 months. Our financial position is solid. For us to make the company plan feasible, as we commented here a few times. In slide 15, before I turn over to Santoro, we can see that we closed the quarter with a cash consolidated position of 411 million BRL. Cash generation of the operation and the resources obtained from the Panama sales were used to reduce our debt, and also the payment of interest rates, and also capital investment, as I commented in the previous slide. It's important to mention that the variation of our liabilities was impacted by investment in the natural working capital, resulting from the growth of the business. The credits we're going to receive from the U.S. with RTC, taxes, and some amount remaining from the divestment in Panama, which will be made throughout this year. We will continue focusing on maximizing our cash generation. This is one of our priorities, along with increased profitability of the operation, which guarantees very efficient resource management, generating operational leverage in all of our businesses so that we can leverage IMC results. I also wanted to reinforce our confidence in what we've been doing and the results we've achieved, keeping in mind the challenge we have ahead of us, but we continue evolving in the direction we believe to be correct. Thank you for your attention, and now I turn back to Santoro.
Thank you, Rafa. This is our last slide, and here I share with you our big dream, which is to be the best food service platform in Brazil, and also that this is an effective journey. To do that, we must have our priorities very clear with a lot of discipline. I would like to highlight some aspects of this slide, and also wanted to share the main priorities, not only for 2023, but looking ahead. We need to increase our operational efficiency of the business. As we've seen throughout this presentation, we evolved a lot regarding profitability, and we have opportunities in the future to improve the profitability of our business. This will happen on the day-to-day, store by store, with a better control losses, increasing the level of service, consumer satisfaction, guaranteeing the quality of our end product. We will continue evolving to capture opportunities to advance processes in production using our centralized production, also looking for more synergism and efficiency. The delivery of an excellent experience to our client, and at the same time, increasing profitability is our main objective and challenge. We have different operational models and a diversified in terms of geography. The sales in Panama were an important step to consolidate our simplification strategy. We will continue evaluating strategies for the future, always aiming at simplification, optimization, and synergies. As I've said in the last calls, the company will be substantially larger but less complex with less diversification. Another important aspect to highlight is our discipline, financial discipline. We still have a high cost, especially with the current reality of interest rates and volatility in the world. And everything is interconnected. We need to improve efficiency and profitability, improve our debt profile so that we have even more flexibility to carry out our expansion plan. We have a lot of opportunities to grow, and we are going to carry out this plan with a lot of discipline regarding the returns and financial availability. We are aware of the challenges and the long path that we have ahead of us. We are confident in our strategy, in the capacity of our teams and franchises, and on the strength of our brands. With this, I want to conclude. We are very enthusiastic about the results obtained last year, but we are aware of the challenge we have ahead of us, and we understand that the game has just begun. I'm very happy about the results, our team, about the culture we are implementing, and also very enthusiastic about the power of our brands. With this, I conclude my presentation and turn back to Greg for us to start the Q&A session. Thank you all very much. Thank you. We're now going to start the Q&A session for analysts and investors. In case you wish to ask any question, please dial star one. If your question has been answered, you can leave the queue by dialing star two. We have received some questions, and I'm going to start with a question by Igor. What factors contributed for the trends of decrease in the same stores, and what are the inherent risks? Well, it's always important that we understand the trends, not only for the year, but for at least 2 years. And of course, we had COVID, and it's difficult to compare with the years before. But what happened in France was that the fourth quarter of 2021, we had the best quarter we've had in a long time in our history. So our comparison basis is very strong in the fourth quarter. Our revenue in Brazil grew more than 10%, but when we compare that in same store sales percentage, it was lower. So I would say there are three factors that I can highlight here for you. One is clearly the World Cup, which had a negative impact for us at Frangostado and in the shopping mall operations, because we still depend a lot on shopping malls. So you can imagine that with the World Cup, people didn't go to the malls and didn't travel as much, and this had a significant impact on us. There's also an important aspect that I mentioned about the U.S. It was a very harsh part of the year. We had snowstorms in Mexico where it doesn't usually snow, and our operation had to close for almost 15 days because some pipes broke and so on and so forth because of these storms. So number one, the U.S., which is very specific, and here in Brazil, our performance wasn't bad, especially when we compare it to the fourth quarter of 21, but it did have a negative impact of the World Cup, which didn't help as much, especially at Frangostado.
We have a question in the call. Our question is from Francisco Villa Lugano. Good morning, Santoro and Bossolani. I haven't participated in this call for a long time, so I have a few questions here. First of all, I wanted to understand the difference of the M&A in Panama. The announced amount had been $40 million, and what we can see in the cash flow says $179 million. So I wanted to know if there are amounts to be received and why we see this difference. Another aspect I wanted to check with you has to do with the new issuance of debentures. In the previous debentures, there was a restriction for the company to share dividends. I want to know what this is like now, keeping in mind that vendors and debentures were somehow not penalized in this very dramatic period of the pandemic. And so I wanted to know whether you foresee anything to try to obtain any returns for shareholders by means of dividends or rebuys. Also, the gas stations in Frango Assado, you had a decrease of over 10%. If it were corrected according to the inflation, it will be close to 10%. I wanted to understand what the company's strategy is for the gas stations. And then, linking to that, could you please talk a little bit about M&A? Because the M&A was very transformational. And so I wanted to know if there's anything that we can expect with Margaret View or the gas stations. And I also wanted to hear from you about AFC. Santoro explained the results of the same store results. And can we expect any advances in the street stores? Because the strategy is today 100% focused in shopping malls. And we see McDonald's and Burger King focusing 100% in street stores. Could you answer these questions? And also, I don't know whether you have disseminated it or not, but the EBITDA margin that you're working internally, and we saw figures close to 20% for the fourth quarter, the best result in your history. Can we expect this as an annualized result? And I apologize for the high number of questions. Hello, Francisco. It's a pleasure to have you in our call again. We haven't talked in a long time. I have different questions. Santoro and myself will try to answer all of your questions. Starting with the Panama's M&A, of course, we disseminated operations of $40 million, and we have to exclude the taxes, fees, advisors, and also we have about $2 million or $3 million for the two operations, which are resources that are in escrow with some conditions, and it will probably be released in the short term. The second aspect regarding dividends, and we are at a moment of expansion of the company. So today, when we look at our potential in the market to expand stores, advance in areas where we don't work yet, renovate our stores in the midterm, this is going to be our priority. And theoretically, the return for shareholders, which will be due to a higher generated amount for our operations. Also, in terms of your last question, before turning over to Santoro with an EBITDA margin, about this indicator, but what I can tell you here is that we have observed expressive improvements in our results, but we are below where we can reach, both in terms of the strategic objectives and financial objectives. When we compare the benchmarks, we still see a lot of opportunities to advance, not only in terms of the business profitability, but also the strategic and operational issues. Villa, this is Santoro now. We didn't have any problems. It has to do with price volatility. And if you get what we had last year for 21 and 23, we had an increase of fuel costs, and it has to do with prices that we monitor. It's not something that we define directly. So you can follow the variation in the market price. There was no decrease in sales. It has to do with the reference price. Also, in terms of margin, we maintain the margin we've been working with. You also commented, and I had quickly talked about KFC. And yes, we are already developing it so that we are going to the streets with KFC, but construction takes time. We are working strongly with that so that we can have a higher presence. We understand that the brand is right now very important for us to strengthen the brand because it has to do with a flow decrease in the malls, and we can see that the flow we had before the pandemic has not been recovered. And it's still low, especially at lunchtime. So going to the streets is already part of our plan, and we are carrying it out now. We hope that at the end of the year or the beginning of next year, we'll start opening our KFC stores in the streets. Also, regarding the decision to leave Panama was very important, both in strategic terms and in practical terms for the company to simplify our business. And of course, we will always be open to alternatives and options that make sense later on. But right now, there's nothing to share with you. There's nothing concrete right now. Once again, thank you for your questions. Thank you, Santoro, and congratulations to the whole team. The company is moving in the right track. And it will be nice to follow your case in the next month. Thank you, Villa, for your kind words. We have another question from Marco Bandeira. He asked a question about the performance of catering and the increase of passengers flow in the period. So he also wants to know if we have an expansion strategy because of the demands. Thank you, Marco, for your question. I think I can summarize it like this. Catering had a significant change in the format of the business. We used to have more food being delivered on board than we have now. And this demands us to be more creative internally. One of the things that has a very relevant impact that helps us with catering,
are the international routes where we have, depending on the flight, we have two meals per passenger in long flights with a lot of patients. You can imagine that that's where we can obtain higher revenue and grow. One of the things we've been doing is that we've had a new route here in Brazil with the bases that we operate with. We have negotiated and discussed it with the airlines. We also have another important route. We're working in some airports. We're growing with the new businesses. So you can imagine the VIP rooms with other competitors. So we can try to explore the supply of certain meals. And we have worked in this direction. To summarize, passenger flow today has a higher impact on airport stores. And of course, it helps catering, but it helps even more in other areas, especially international flights, which have higher volumes and more opportunities. Once again, thank you for your question. Since we do not have any more questions, we now close our Q&A session. I now turn over to Mr. Santoro for his final considerations. Well, thank you all very much for participating in our call with your questions. I also thank Greg, and once again, I thank you all for your presence here today. We will close with a photo of KSC with excellent products. I've already ordered my delivery and invite you to try our KFC delicious meals. Thank you very much. The teleconference is now over and we wish you a good afternoon.